Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It is time for our weekly visit with the skipper of the Texas Rangers, Chris Woodward. How you doing today, Woody?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Hey, we're great. Thanks for taking the time to join us. We certainly appreciate it. And, you know, if it seems like every time we interview you, we ask you about Michael Young, well, it's because you guys have an old school friendship, and we are Michael Young fanboys. And there's a major thing coming up this weekend is his number is going to be retired. What do you think this means to your old school buddy there, Michael Young, to have his number retired?
I was asking him before because I knew he was obviously in our Hall of Fame. I remember asking him when I first got the job, like, why is there not a number 10 up there, up on the wall out there? He goes, I don't know. But he, obviously it's well deserved. He's one of the best Ranger players to ever put the uniform on. So. I'm excited to see how it goes this weekend and be a part of it. To actually sit there and actually enjoy the celebration will actually be pretty cool for me, kind of growing up with them. I know we kind of, once we started playing professionally, we didn't keep in touch as much. But, to kind of grow up with somebody and see them have the success that they've had, and I'm really happy for them.
I'm so fascinated by where you guys ended up. When y'all were kids playing baseball together, did y'all ever talk about being major leaguers?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was more of a reality for him than it was for me. But, with him, I'm not, this doesn't surprise me at all. And I think that's kind of the message I've put out there. I thought he was the best player that I've ever seen. So, in from my standpoint, it doesn't seem surprising one bit. For him, I don't know if he envisioned this kind of career or the career that he had. I'm sure he did because he was a pretty confident guy. But it's just amazing to think that when you have a kid, when you're a kid and you have dreams of maybe being a major leaguer or just being a professional for that matter, and to see where it's kind of taken him, and to have a number retired, and being a Hall of Fame of a major league organization is pretty special.
We're talking about a guy that's damn near flawless in every way, and so we kind of need you. We need dirt on Michael. Did you know him back in like some bad outfits, bad haircuts? Did you ever know him to have a mullet or a pierced ear? Anything you can give us at all?
No. He was pretty straight laced, I guess. The only thing I could say was that he was just really, really cocky. I think he was really confident guy. Almost borderline, arrogant when he was younger. part of that was just because he was so much better than everybody else. But we went to junior high school together, and just the way he kind of walked around, and that was the first time I really kind of got to know him on a deeper level. I wouldn't say we were best friends, but we were friends, and we played basketball all the time together, and he was just good at everything. I was fairly decent at pretty much every sport as well, so it was like we kind of. we had our moments where we'd run the basketball court together. We'd play, you know, soccer, you know, basketball, football, baseball, you know, it didn't matter really what sport it was. But he was just really, really, really confident that he was a really good athlete. He could beat you in pretty much anything. And so that was the one thing, you know, when you see him on the field in baseball, it's like, man, this guy, you know, thinks he's better than everybody, but he is. So it's kind of hard to get mad at him for that.
I'm fascinated by that. I mean, we've talked a lot about basketball with him, and we know he's a big Laker fan, and he's kind of adopted the Mavs as well, and he's buddies with Dirk and all that. What was his junior high basketball game like? Does he get to the hole guy, nice handles, good jumper? What was his game like?
I think a little bit of everything. He was fast. I mean, he was quick. You know, he could always run. He was just, you know, you could see his movements were just, he was just an elite athlete at a younger age. And, you know, he'd kind of run circles around everybody. So we were pretty good on the basketball court together because we both kind of had, you know, similar makeup. You know, we were both kind of, you know, leaner kids that were fast, that were quick, and could shoot. So, yeah, he was good. He was a good basketball player.
Yeah, you're not helping us. It sounds like his childhood was very much like his adult life, pretty damn near flawless. But wait, we kind of expected that. We're talking to Chris Woodward on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan, brought to you by City Credit Union and the Rangers Rewards Fan Card. Looking forward to these weekly visits. And, man, got to dive into a more difficult topic here, and I want to talk about Rugi. And what we try to do on the outside looking in is we're trying to figure out, obviously, when a player's struggling, it's tough on him, and it's tough for everybody, but Rugi's had some highs and lows. What we're trying to figure out is, okay, is he struggling doing what you guys are asking him to do? Or at some point does a player, when they're struggling, say, man, I just got to go back to me and how I got here? And if that's counterintuitive to kind of what you're teaching, we're trying to figure out where we are with all that. So where is Rugi in terms of not results, but in terms of his approach and what you want him to do with his approach?
That is a pretty deep question because, you know, we don't ever want to make a guy do something he's uncomfortable with as far as taking away from what we both feel mutually, you know, the player and the staff member, like, feel like is his biggest asset or his strength. So, you know, I think early on, you know, we allowed, you know, the players to kind of come to the staff. We provided, obviously, a lot of truth and a lot of understanding of what we saw, and obviously the hitting coaches what they saw and how they could, you know, help him. But in Rugi's case, you know, we let him kind of, I wouldn't say do it his way, but, you know, it was more of, you know, what he felt was good, and, you know, they kind of worked alongside that. And when the results weren't happening, obviously we, you know, our hitting guys kind of addressed it a little bit more to say, okay, well, we need to come up with some solutions here. And, you know, to be honest with you, it may be he's doing really well as far as, you know, doing what our hitting coaches want him to do. He looked better yesterday. It's small incremental gains at this point, and I would like to see more, but I understand how hard it is to hit in the major leagues. So, you know, if we're asking him to make a little bit more of a wholesale change, like, that's going to take some time. And what I saw yesterday was better. You know, his at bat quality has been better. He's still missing pitches that he feels like he should hit and we feel like he should hit. So he's been a lot more open to a lot of different ideas and things. I think honestly, some of it may have to happen, unfortunately, in the off season to make an actual, you know, change, significant change that could lead to, you know, more consistency. So it is a deeper question, but, you know, I'm proud of him. He's, you know, he's dealing with the struggle, you know, as well as a player can. He knows that we want more. He wants more himself. And he's getting a little bit frustrated. So we're trying to keep him, you know, afloat, you know, obviously from a confidence standpoint to not let it just spiral straight down. But we do need to see more results, and he knows that.
You said something in there, Woody, that I was curious about is, in looking at the bigger picture with him at the plate, is it a bigger concern, or maybe the word is issue, him missing pitches he should hit or swinging at pitches he shouldn't swing at?
Right now, earlier in the year, I felt like he was more swinging at pitches he couldn't hit. So we needed him to stay in the strike zone. And that's something that we talked about a lot with all of our hitters. It's the hardest thing to do in baseball is to get your ace swing off on a strike and then take the balls. Like, usually there's a little bit of overlap there. So to hit the strikes, you know, you kind of have to sell out to swing the bat. And he's done a better job of staying in the strike zone. So now it is a matter of him actually missing pitches that I feel like he could hit or he should hit. And he knows that. That's why he's getting frustrated. I think before, when you swing out of the strike zone and you know you can't hit a certain pitch, there's really no evaluation of a swing or your swing at that point because you can't hit that pitch. Nobody can, usually if it's, you know, and he tended to chase the high fastballs. So he's very aware of his issues, but now he's actually swinging at good pitches and not hitting them. Yesterday he had a couple, you know, he hit a line drive that was unfortunately probably the reason why we didn't win the game because he was unlucky when he lined out. But his swings have been better at strikes, but now we need to work on the end zone mechanical adjustments that can allow him to be more consistent with actually hitting those balls and play hard.
We are talking to Chris Woodward on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Let's talk about some of the versatile guys you have. You have some guys with some position flex, capable of playing multiple positions. I want to talk about Santana and Solak with regard to third base. Is one of those guys advanced over the other right now, at least just in terms of manning third base?
Well, Santana's, you know, probably a little bit ahead of him just because he's actually played there. I thought Danny did a good job last night. With Mike on the mound. He looks pretty good over there in his ground ball session. You know, Solak's been taking ground balls over there. I've been watching him pretty intently to see what it looks like. And he'll get over there at some point in the next couple of days. I'm going to put him at third in the game, Solak. And he just hasn't played there a whole lot. So, you know, I'm kind of asking him to do things that he hasn't really done, but he's open to it. I asked him yesterday, you know, when are you going to be ready to play third base? He goes, whenever you put me in the lineup. So that's kind of the mentality that he has, which is awesome. You know, I love that. He's kind of fearless about going out there. So we'll get a good look at him. Obviously, in September, you know, I'll get a good look at both those guys and see what it looks like.
Woody, since you guys aren't, quote-unquote, legitimately in the wild card race, is there an element to what's happening right now that is experimental for the future, or is there an overriding message where it still has to be about the games and what's happening each day?
I think there's definitely a blend, I guess, of, you know, I still tell our guys out every day, like, we're going with the intent to win every game. You know, we're winning every pitch of every game, and I don't care who we play. We have a tough schedule in September, which I think is a great thing for us. Some may look at it as like, well, you know, our record has a chance to suffer. Well, I think it's a fantastic thing for our guys to witness because we're playing contenders. And so I want to go into all those games, you know, as if they were the most meaningful games that we've had all year. And, you know, whether we're, you know, completely out of it or we creep back in it, and we're going to play the teams that are ahead of us. And I think that's a good thing for our guys to kind of see because those teams are going to prepare as if we are the most important team because they're fighting to get in the playoffs. They're fighting to win a division. They're fighting for the things that they're fighting for. And so we're going to get the best of those teams, hopefully. And it's a good challenge for our guys to see where they are, where they should be, you know, in regards to the best teams in the baseball. But I think, you know, I manage every game with the intent to win. Now, there are some times where I want to see what a guy can do in a certain situation. So that kind of overrides where there's a little bit of growth and learning, you know, from all of our parts to see what it's capable of, especially with our younger starters and younger relievers. You know, I may put them in different situations than I would normally if, you know, we were – 2 games up in the wild card, for example. But I still think I put these guys in situations to win every game.
So finally, before we let you go, I read an article by Saad Youssef in The Athletic talking about how you approach the media. And he was talking about it, looking at the calculations that you deal with the media over 300 times, over 300 interviews in a six-month span. Are you looking forward to a hiatus on that and getting to the off season to where you don't have to deal with the media all day, every day?
You know, I don't mind it. I mean, some days, obviously, you know, because it is about our team, you know, and I try to keep it as tight a group inside as I can with regards to the actual team itself. But, you know, it is part of the job, and I think it is important for people to kind of understand what we're all about without giving too many of our secrets away to opposing teams or, you know, that. But it is part of the job. Honestly, it's, you know, I don't mind spreading the message of what our guys are doing well and what they're working on so people know. So people can, you know, when they come to the games, they can support them and understand, okay, this guy's doing this, you know, to win a championship. And I know that there's a lot that goes into that. So if they're kind of part of that journey in creating a champion, they feel more connected to what we're doing and what our players are all about.
Woody, thank you so much for the time, man. We always enjoy it. We'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There he goes. Chris Woodward right here on the Ben and Skin Show every Wednesday, 105.3 The Fan.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Fresh Atlantic salmon portions, 7-ounce farm-raised, including marinated portions, just $5.99 each. Delicious Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5, or just $1.25 each. This week's digital deal is the delicious Sumo Citrus, $2.47 per pound, limit 4 pounds. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.